When I was six, I was queen. No need to question me, I was. I wore a white flowing satin dress. It had gold trim. Bow to me. Watch me swish in sock feet across the carpet and readjust my crown. And bowed to me, my two young cousins did. We were making a home movie, and I had written the script. One obeyed me as daughter, seated at my right hand. The other served me as peasant. She got to sweep my house with a broom. Sweep, girls, sweep. The cameras rolled, and our parents gathered to giggle behind the view frame, and I, the queen, took my seat upon my throne. My blue teddy bear printed, made entirely of flimsy foam, made for children throne. I leaned back royally in self-satisfaction, and then tumbled completely backwards, heels over head, as everyone in the room laughed. I, the queen, was the fool, clothed in pride, self-assurance, self-glory, and sin. God upended my sin to reveal who's truly majestic and worthy of worship. Truth is, sin reduces us all to fools. From Adam and Eve's first unwise ruling, we inherited sin-stained selfishness that daily scrambles for glory. Our broken world commends us for sitting on a throne of self-love, building a kingdom called the wisdom of me. My choices, my life, I know what's best for me. But here's the thing. Every day, we fools are faced with a choice of wisdom. Submit to God, the King of Kings, or be your own king. Daily, by the minute, we can either depend on God, our Creator, and His wise ruling, or depend on me and my sin. As we encounter King Solomon at the beginning of his reign, we witness him ask God for wisdom. Here in 1 Kings, like you, like me, like Adam and Eve, Solomon is a sinner who is unwise. Solomon, amidst his fame, is a broken man, a broken king. And like all broken earthly rulers of history, he lets us know we need a different kind of king. A king who never made an unwise decision, never had a divided heart, never did a wrong thing, and lived a perfect life devoted to his Father God's mission to save us from sin, and that king is Jesus Christ. So where are you going for wisdom? This week, Solomon points us to where wisdom is found and what wisdom is. We'll discover wisdom is not gained by study, and wisdom is no set of concepts. Wisdom is a glorious person. Wisdom begins and ends with the King, the Lord God Almighty. And the truly wise sinner loves God above all. As you and I study, let's open the Word, knowing its author is God, and the Word is His wisdom. Only God gives the good and perfect gift of His wisdom to grow our love for Him and give Him glory. So let us fools humbly ask this King, God, give us wisdom to worship You above all. We begin our week's study in day 2, looking at verses 1 through 9 of 1 Kings 3, in a section I'm calling Whole Heart. Solomon begins his imperfect reign by asking God for wisdom. As we look closely, we'll discover that God's people, Solomon and you and me, are called to worship God with an undivided heart. Solomon is fresh to the throne, charged by his father, King David, to rule. Do the words of his father ring in his ears? Solomon, my son, know the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. The words of 1 Chronicles chapter 28 echo 1 Kings 2 verse 4, where David quotes the Lord's call for his sons, saying, "Walk faithfully before me with all their heart and soul, whole heart, willing mind, all your soul." David's charge to Solomon was to walk before the Lord in undivided worship. Solomon starts off strong in chapter 2, removing David's enemies and fortifying Jerusalem. But chapter 3 shows us sin is desperately driven to steal our hearts from the Lord. Verses 1 and 2 reveal sin planting seeds of division. First, Solomon makes a marriage alliance with Egypt despite God's deliverance. Pharaoh's daughter may have represented prestige, but according to Deuteronomy 7 verses 3 and 4, this union promised a divided heart. "Do not intermarry with them, for they will turn your children away from following me to serve other gods." Solomon made an unwise choice, one that God had prohibited to preserve hearts for his love alone. Second, the people were sacrificing at the high places. Even Solomon, who loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of David his father, he too worshipped God at the high places. And high places came with history of idolatrous worship. In Deuteronomy chapter 12, God commanded his people to destroy these sites and worship differently. And whether this compromised worship was convenience or forgetfulness, God is worthy of the wholehearted worship he requires. Do you and I recognize sin's drive to divide our hearts from the Lord to foolishness? Will you ask God to give you wisdom to worship him as he desires? So Solomon makes unwise choices, yet in verse 5, our gracious, faithful God meets him as the source of all wisdom. God saw Solomon's 1,000 burnt offerings at Gibeon, but knew Solomon's heart even better. The all-knowing God of all creation appeared to Solomon and said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." And as Solomon responds, we learn what dependent prayer looks like. In humble devotion, the heart asks for God's wisdom. First, Solomon twice thanks God for his wholehearted love, saying, "You have shown great and steadfast love to your servant David, and you have kept for him this great and steadfast love." David loved the Lord with an upright heart, but God's love is chesed, an all-consuming, never-ending, promise-keeping love. Next, Solomon magnifies God as King and King-maker, saying, "Lord my God, you have made your servant king." And finally, Solomon confesses God is wisdom by plainly, openly recognizing his foolishness and his lack of wisdom, saying, "But I am only a child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you've chosen, a great people too numerous to count or number." And then Solomon asks for God's help. "So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people, to distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours?" Solomon says, "I'm just a child. Only you, Lord, know." Solomon teaches us God is the source of wisdom, and apart from him, we are fools. God is the source. He is the giver. We as little children ask and only receive. So will you bow before his wisdom, knowing he alone is king? Will you ask the Lord to turn your heart from division in sin to wholehearted worship of him? Day 3 of our week's study takes us through verses 10 to 15, where God grants Solomon's request and gives him abundantly more. I've called this section exactly that, abundantly more. So let's see, God in his wisdom is abounding in love. It is wise for Solomon, for you, and for me to fall upon his grace in worship. In verses 10 to 11, we learn the Lord is pleased with Solomon's ask. What exactly did he ask for? We saw in prayer how Solomon rightly praised God as abounding in love, authority, and knowledge, then asked for a discerning heart. In other translations, an understanding mind, to know what's right in God's eyes. Solomon asked the God of wisdom and love for the wisdom to love and serve as God would have him do. Can we stop for a second and just pray? Lord, teach us to do as you wish, Lord. Give us hearts that listen for your good and a mind that understands your will. Amen. And God says in verse 11, because you have asked this and have not asked for yourself. You see, there's many things Solomon could have asked for, riches, armies, fame, renown. Instead, Solomon asks to know what is good in God's eyes so that he might pursue God's desires above all. And God replies with the greatest good, his own abundant love. He says, behold, I give you a wise and discerning mind. And then suddenly, but exactly upon the grounds of his will, adds more. He adds, not because of who Solomon is, but adds to demonstrate the riches of his steadfast love, the abounding chesed of his character as the king of heaven and earth. Verse 13 paints a picture of grace. He says, I give you also what you have not asked. From the beginning, this God of all wisdom has given humankind what we have not asked. When he made the heavens and the earth, and man and woman, and placed them in the Garden of Eden, he said, behold, I have given you, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 29, things for food, things to behold, and work to do. Life itself on this earth is a grace given we did not ask for. And this same God of all wisdom, in his abounding love, decided to give us abundantly also the gift of eternal life, received by faith in the cross of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. So what do you and I ask God for? There is nothing we have that God has not given. There is nothing that God needs from us. But he gives all we need, and more by faith in Christ, more by his indwelling Holy Spirit, and more forever in the place he prepares for believers in his eternal kingdom. Have you asked for the wisdom to understand this grace? Only God gives understanding of the gospel. Only God gives salvation and grants the wisdom to know his abundant gift of Jesus by faith. And so, with riches and honor added upon wisdom, God demonstrates grace to Solomon. God repeats David's charge to walk with a worship-filled heart of obedience. And in verse 15, Solomon wastes no time in wisely responding in worship. He went to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. He made sin offerings, he made peace offerings, and prepared a feast, propelled by the abounding, steadfast love of the Lord. Solomon wisely receives God's wisdom and eagerly reflects God's goodness to those around him in bountiful worship and celebration of the Lord. Is the desire of your heart for what God alone gives? Will you ask God for wisdom to understand his grace? Will you ask for wisdom to worship Jesus Christ as God's gift of abundant love? Day 4 plunges us into action in verses 16 to 27 as God gives Solomon the opportunity to use his gift of wisdom for the good of God's people. In this section, I'm calling True Strength, we learn God's wisdom is the strength of those who walk by faith and worship him in truth. Solomon received wisdom from the Lord and responded in worship. But now Solomon encounters a wisdom test of sorts in a particularly difficult case of justice seeking. We read in verse 18, "The women in question were alone. There was no one else with us in the house," they say. Already we know judging this case will require discernment of the human heart without any unbiased testimony. So what is Solomon to do? The women explain, "Woman 1, she replaced my living baby with her dead baby." And woman 2, "No, the living baby is mine." So in verse 23, Solomon repeats the story with a crisp brevity. Was he trying to wrap his mind around it? We don't know what goes through Solomon's mind here. And the text certainly doesn't indicate time passing or Solomon needing to withdraw to a deliberation room. No. Amazingly, almost instantaneously, Solomon gives a shocking, effective, and ultimately revealing truth that causes the reality of the unseen, unknowable hearts of the women to be made plain. This is not like the Solomon who first confessed, "I'm a little child, I don't know what to do." This is a man who's asked for discernment to know good and evil by the Lord's wisdom. This is the Lord doing what he promised in the life of Solomon. This is the powerful wisdom of the King of Heaven giving wisdom to an earthly king by opening Solomon's mind to act according to God's perfect justice. The jump from verses 23 to 24 displays a kind of strength God alone could have given in his divine wisdom. "Bring me a sword," Solomon says, and his order to divide the child in half cuts to the heart of the women quicker than the gathering of character references or the gathering of a jury. Love is made apparent as woman one cries out, "Don't kill the baby, she can have him." And evil is made apparent as woman two declares, "Let the baby die, he shall be neither yours nor mine." Solomon knows the truth and returns the living child to its mother. I wonder, where are you and I going for truth? By what do we discern truth in the world or even the true state of our hearts? There is a judge wiser than all the kings of this world who knows our hearts and every thought and motive plainly. His wisdom has been revealed in truth that reveals the lies of this world and the sin of our hearts. And that truth is God's living word. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 tells us, "The word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." Our worship of God must be founded upon his truth. His wise word tells us, "Without him we are dead in sin," in Ephesians 2, verse 1. His word says, "The wages of sin is death," in Romans 6, verse 23. But the word of God says, "This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins," 1 John 4, verse 10. The word of God revealed in the Bible is sharper than Solomon's sword, calls us to examine our hearts, and points out our desperate need for a savior from the deadly sin within us. God's wisdom was Solomon's strength. God has given his wisdom in his living word. So will you ask God for wisdom to worship Christ in truth? And for him to be your true strength? At the top of day 5, in chapter 3, verse 28, we see Solomon is known for God's all-surpassing wisdom. But let's look forward in 1 Kings to the coming chapters to look back and mark together where true wisdom is found. In chapter 4, verses 20 to 28 of 1 Kings, we see Solomon using God's gift of wisdom for wise ruling and diplomacy, and God provided peace and safety on all sides. Verses 29 to 34 testify to the greatness of God's gift. Solomon's wisdom had no limits. It was as measureless as sand on the seashore. His wisdom produced 3,000 proverbs and 1,000 songs. He spoke of all things under the sun, and his wisdom attracted worldwide esteem. He built God's temple with gold and bronze and cedar. He prepared a place for the ark of the Lord and brought it to the temple. He blessed the Lord with public praise of God's abounding steadfast love. He led Israel in offering sacrifices and charged them as David charged him, saying, "Let your heart therefore be wholly true to the Lord our God, walking in his statutes and keeping his commandments as at this day." That's 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 61. God equipped Solomon with his wisdom for kingdom work. But all the while, Solomon built his palace as splendid, amassing wealth and wives to his liking. The seeds sin planted in chapter 3, 1 and 2 divided his heart toward foreign gods. And his heart was not wholly true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of David his father, reads 1 Kings 11, verse 4. He went after gods of his wives and built high places for them. The Lord, in righteous anger, divided Solomon's rule over the tribes of Israel, and the kingdom itself became divided. So what is wisdom? We learn from Solomon, it's not knowledge of trees, oceans, beasts, birds, reptiles, foreign policy, justice systems, experience, or meditations on life that would save him from his own sin. For all of the knowledge of good and evil, and understanding as measureless as the sands, Solomon still needed God, desperately. The wisdom that saves is not the wisdom of the world, not found in the university or the textbook, not by philosophers of the ages, not found by experience or finding your true self, but by the grace of God alone, who made the earth by his power, who established the world by his wisdom, and by his understanding stretched out the heavens. That's from Jeremiah 10, verse 12. It is God, the giver of wisdom, we desperately need. And it is his wisdom, made manifest in Jesus, we desperately need for rescue from sin, foolishness, and death. Paul explains in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." God, in his wisdom, took on human form. The Son of God, Jesus Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, died for the folly of humankind's sin and rose so that we might be loved forever by faith in him. This is the wisdom that saves, and we desperately need the Lord to give us understanding. The end of our passage in 1 Kings 3 says, "Israel stood in awe of the king, because they perceived that the wisdom of God was in him to do justice." Solomon did not receive wisdom for Solomon's glory. Solomon received wisdom to reflect God's glory, authority, and kingship. Are you in awe of this God? The wisdom that overcomes sin belongs to him, given abundantly in Jesus, the King, who's given himself for you. So will you worship him today above all? From our passage this week, let's consider three ways our study could propel us to worship the God of all wisdom wisely. Is your worship dethroned and dependent, undivided and wholehearted, and for the wonder of wisdom? Dethroned and dependent. Before Solomon even asked for wisdom, he exalted God as king and kingmaker, rich in steadfast love. Solomon confessed himself a child in complete dependence. So do you and I need to be dethroned? Do we believe by some degree that we add to the equation of salvation, or that God needs us, or even finds us charming or worthy in some way? Independence for a Christian is not an option. It is entirely by God's own will that He loves and calls us to belief by faith. And because He is entirely King, entirely loving, and altogether wise, we can and must entirely depend on Him, and not the self in the kingdom of me. So where in your life can you confess you're a child in need of the sovereign Savior and offer up dethroned and dependent worship of the King? I've wanted to build my own empire. I'm a child, Lord, give me your wisdom. I feel like a failure. I'm a child, Lord, give me your wisdom. I'm a little child, I don't know how to face death. Lord, will you give me your wisdom? Next, undivided and wholehearted. Solomon responded to God's gift of wisdom in worship at first, but sin's seeds grew to divide his heart to go after other loves. Do we really worship the Lord above all? Without the Lord Jesus Christ, we are fools in sin. Do you and I recognize sin's drive to divide us from the Lord? The God of all wisdom alone gives understanding of His gracious gift of Christ and salvation by faith. He gives the believer a new heart to understand His word by the power of the Holy Spirit. Believers still struggle with sin, and our wise God knows what needs to go. He perfects our hearts with His sword of truth. So what is the Lord prompting you to offer up in repentance to worship Him wholeheartedly instead? My will to work outweighs my will to pray. Lord, give me a whole heart of worship. My pride makes me unable to forgive as I'm forgiven. Lord, give me a whole heart of worship. And finally, for wonder of wisdom. We learned this week, true wisdom that saves is not a collection of thoughts or knowledge of birds, beasts, and space and time. God alone gives the wisdom that rescues us from sin. God is the source of all wisdom, and the wisdom that saves is His Son, Jesus Christ. And eternal wisdom in Him has been given to us in His Word. So are you and I worshiping in the truth of who the King of Salvation is? Do I worship to get something I want, or for the wonder of what He's already given I didn't ask for? Do we worship to receive a fresh feeling or a new thought, or worship with Scripture on our lips to reflect the wonder of wisdom made known? What wisdom in the Word this week will you worship the God of all wisdom with? Lord, you showed your great and steadfast love to David and Solomon. How wonderful is your chesed. Lord, all Israel heard Solomon's decree and knew your wisdom was king. Make your wisdom known in my dark city. In 1 Kings chapter 3, Solomon points us to the source of wisdom and what true wisdom is. Of all the wisdom you and I could amass in years upon the earth, there is no greater wisdom than the knowledge of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, His abundant love, and His abundantly more of eternity to come. King Jesus is worthy of our trust, worthy of our obedience, and worthy of our whole heart in worship. Will you ask God for wisdom to know Him and walk by faith in worship of Him above all your days and evermore, every day?